I recited a legend concerning these two statues. They had been commissioned in 2270 by Tantus, the Baesian emperor, specifically as companion pieces to the older one of Canoas, which he had just acquired by sacking what was left of Ethras. He had also acquired the quarry whence the marble for the original statue had come, and so he had caused two more great blocks to be extracted from it and shipped to Baas in specially made barges. The finest sculptor of the age had spent 5 years carving these. At the formal unveiling, Tantus had been so taken by the look on Hylaea's face that he had ordered the sculptor to be brought before him and had asked him what it was that Hylaea was about to say. The sculptor had declined to answer the question. Tantus had insisted. The sculptor had pointed out that all of the art and all of the virtue in this statue lay in that very ambiguity. Tantus, fascinated, had asked him a number of questions on that theme, then drew the imperial sword and plunged it into the sculptor's heart, so that he would never be able to undermine his own work of art by answering the question. Later scholarship had cast doubt on this story, as it did on all good stories, but to tell it at this point in the tour was obligatory, and the slines got a kick out of it. In my opinion, these two sculptures were such bald, pro-Hylaea, anti-Deot propaganda that I was almost embarrassed by them. The Deolaters, however, seemed to take precisely the opposite view. Over the course of Apert, Deot's pedestal had become bedizened with so many candles and charms, flowers, stuffed animals, fetishes, phototypes of dead people, and slips of paper, that the one-offs would be cleaning it up for weeks after the gates closed. Deot and Hylaea went out searching for their father and found him lost in contemplation under the tree. Both saw the tablet on which he had recorded his impressions, and both listened to his account. Not long after, Canoas said something so offensive to the king that he was sent into exile, where he soon died. His daughters began telling people different stories. Deot said that Canoas had looked up into the sky and seen the clouds part to give him a vision of a pyramid of light normally concealed from human eyes. He was seeing into another world, a kingdom of heaven where all was bright and perfect. According to her, Canoas drew the conclusion that it was a mistake to worship physical idols such as the one he had been building, for those were only crude effigies of actual gods that lived in another realm, and we ought to worship those gods themselves, not artifacts we made with our own hands. Hylaea said that Canoas had actually been having an upside about geometry. What her sister Deot had misinterpreted as a pyramid in heaven was actually a glimpse of an isosceles triangle. Not a crude and inaccurate representation of one such as Canoas drew on his tablet with ruler and compass, but a pure theoretical object of which one could make absolute statements. The triangles that we drew and measured here in the physical world were all merely more or less faithful representations of perfect triangles that existed in this higher world. We must stop confusing one with the other and lend our minds to the study of pure geometrical objects. You'll notice that there are two exits from this room, I pointed out. One on the left near the statue of Deot, the other on the right near Hylaea. This symbolizes the great forking that now took place between the followers of Deot, whom we call Deolaters, and of Hylaea, who in the early centuries were called Physiologers. If you pass through Deot's door, you'll soon find yourself outside where you can easily find your way back to the Unarian Gate. A lot of our visitors do that because they don't think that anything beyond this point is relevant to them. But if you follow me through the other door, it means you are continuing on the Hylaean Way. And after giving them a few minutes to roam around and take pictures, I went out, leading all but the Deot pilgrims into a gallery lined with pictures and artifacts of the centuries following the death of Canoas. This in turn gave on to the diorama chamber, which was rectangular, with a vaulted ceiling and clerestory windows letting in plenty of light to illuminate the frescoes. The centerpiece was a scale model of the Temple of Orathena. As I explained, this had been founded by Adrakenes, the discoverer of the Adrakonic theorem, which stated that the square of a right triangle's hypotenuse was equal to the sum of the squares of the other two sides. To honor this, the floor of the chamber was adorned with numerous visual proofs of the said theorem, any of which you could puzzle out if you stood and stared at it for long enough. We're now in the period from about 2900 years before the Reconstitution to about -2600, I said. Adrakenes turned Orithena into a temple devoted to exploration of the HTW, or the Hylaean Theoric World, the plane of existence that had been glimpsed by Canoas. People came from all over. You'll notice that this chamber has a second entrance, leading in from the out-of-doors. This commemorates the fact that many who had taken the other fork and sojourned among the Deolaters came in from the cold, as it were, trying to reconcile their ideas with those of the Orithenans. Some were more successful than others.